On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette drops by to talk about Carroll's continued success in the football tournament, before we look at a big upset early in the girls' basketball season and preview boys' swimming. I'll close with notes on the Hoosiers, the Comets, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson is here to help us get started as well. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
We spent a lot of time last week talking about Carroll sports, and on the football front, the Chargers are staying hot.
Yes, so Carroll went over to Penn in Mishawaka last week, and it was kind of a funny game because they fell behind seemingly in a, oh my gosh, are they going to be able to dig themselves out of this whole situation twice? So they had a deflected interception on their first possession that got turned into a field goal, gave up another touchdown, although did block the extra point. So all of a sudden they're in a 9-0 hole and you're thinking, oh boy, is this going to be a really long night? But then they kind of run away with it to have kind of a healthy lead going into the second half. At the beginning of the third quarter, Penn rebounds, retakes the lead, and they have a situation where they're up by 9, about to score another touchdown. We're thinking, okay, is this going to be the end for the Chargers? But the Chargers defense gets a third down stop and then a missed field goal, then a big, I believe it was like 80-yard touchdown pass. And all of a sudden, back in business. Carroll ends up winning that one 41-30 on Penn's home field. That was just the second regional title in school history, and they're going on to semi-state.
So what's next for them and the tournament as a whole?
The Fort Wayne, Northeast Indiana area had 6 teams playing for regional titles in 5 different classifications last week. Our area went 5-for-6. So we still have teams alive in 5 of the 6 classifications. First up is Class 6A, which we were just talking about. That's Westfield, 10-2 at Carroll, 9-3. You know, Westfield's been kind of one of the big boys of Indiana high school football. That'll be a big game on Friday night. In Class 4A, South Bend St. Joseph, 12-1, will be playing at Bishop Dwenger. And so, again, Bishop Dwenger will also be hosting. So that's a pretty exciting thing for Bishop Dwenger. In 3A, Knox, 13-0, will be at Bishop Lohr's, 8-5. Knox was the team that knocked out Angola last week in our only local loss of the season. Miles McLaughlin, their quarterback, last week he set the national single-season rushing record. He's now, I believe it's about 600 or so yards away from Derrick Henry's all-time high school rushing record. And you're thinking, well, I mean, there's only 2 more games left, even if they win this one. Yeah, he's averaging 350 or so rushing yards a game. So that's something to keep your eyes on. Definitely something to come out and watch at Bishop Lohr's on Friday. 2A, we have Adams Central, 13-0. They beat Eastbrook, that in a battle of unbeatens, still alive, still on track to make yet another state finals. The Flying Jets will be at Andrean, 11-1. Class A, Pioneer, 12-1 at South Adams, 10-3. Again, talking about South Adams, they have 3 losses. A lot of teams at this point in the season don't. They tend to be the teams that are undefeated, maybe 1-2 losses. But those losses by South Adams have come to Marion Local in Ohio, which was still alive and undefeated in the Ohio state tournament. They have won multiple state championships in a row. And the other losses have come to Adams Central, still alive and undefeated, and Bluffton. Bluffton's only losses came to Adams Central. So South Adams has been money against everyone but the very, very top teams around, and now they're in the 1A playoffs and doing pretty well. So yet another team to look out for on Friday night if you happen to be more in the Burn area.
Girls basketball is underway. We already saw a pretty major upset handed down by Norwell.
Yes, and it is interesting to call that an upset because Norwell is the defending Class 3A state champs, but that just speaks to how dominant Homestead has been in this part of the state in recent years. It had been since 2012 that Norwell, again, a team that has been extremely successful, has been extremely consistent for years now, they got the better of Homestead. They had, by my count, and I'm not an official statistician, but by my count, they had 10 steals in the second half, 6 in the third quarter, where they took the lead for good, and then 4 more in the fourth quarter when they held Homestead to just 10 points. And so they just made life really difficult for the Spartans. Homestead was able to hit, I believe it was 9 three-pointers. Gabby Helsom, who is a Miss Basketball candidate, she still scored 18 points, all of them on three-pointers, but it just wasn't quite enough on a night where Addison Norris of Norwell, she had 22 points, and I think that that was really exciting for her. She was playing really well in last year's meeting when Norwell lost by 10, but then she hit her head on the court, had to leave the game early. So a little bit of a change in the narrative there, and just a really, really big win for the Knights to show that they can defend against a juggernaut like Homestead. They can hit big shots of their own when it matters. And so this is going to be really, really interesting because these teams are very, very, very likely to see each other in the sectional tournament now that they are both 4A teams since Norwell got bumped up after winning last year's state title. So Norwell 59, Homestead 46. That is Homestead's first loss of the season, and we're just getting started here.
And the boys' swimming season begins next week. Tell us what we can expect from that.
Here in Indiana, boys and girls swimming is staggered. So they have the girls start 2 weeks ahead of time so that they can wrap up that state finals. And sort of the girls can have their moment. And then the week after the girls' state finals, they have the boys' sectionals, followed a week later by the boys' state finals. Here in the Fort Wayne area, as usual, it's usually Homestead and Carroll that are kind of your leaders in swimming. Homestead is the defending sectional champ. They had a very successful season last year, even though they had, it was a lot of juniors were really driving the bus there with a couple even younger guys helping. You like to see that. You like to see a lot of success from guys who aren't graduating that next year. Carroll was second at the Southside sectional, and then I believe they finished ninth at the state finals, just behind Homestead. They are losing a couple more seniors, so gonna have to find some more guys to step up and take those roles over this year. If we're looking forward to the conference standings, Bishop Dwenger defended their title in the SAC championships last year at Helen P. Brown Auditorium. And again, they did that with a lot of juniors. So yeah, there's going to be a lot to look forward to, and hopefully a lot of the same phases as last year, and maybe just a little bit of improvement from a lot of those guys.
Victoria Jacobson covering the wide range of sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Indiana football enters a late season bye week ranked second in the nation with a record of 11-0 for the first time in school history. The Hoosiers won their final home game of the season on Saturday, beating Wisconsin 31-10. IU now has the longest home winning streak in the nation at 15. Head coach Kurt Cignetti says IU's crowd is the best in the nation.
I mean, I know everybody says that, that's got it going and packs the house. But I love our fans. I know where we started and where we are now, and they are over the top, and I can't say enough good things about them, and we feed off of their energy.
The Hoosiers won their 7 home games this season by an average of almost 41 points per game. That success at home has positioned IU for a perfect regular season.
We've got a rival game coming up in 2 weeks, and then hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Quarterback Fernando Mendoza threw another 4 touchdown passes. His last one was a school record 30th on the year. It has the transfer from Cal among the favorites to win the Heisman Trophy as college football's player of the year.
If these, you know, awards end up do happening, then great, you know, it's all good. But my goal is to win and go as far as we can. Whether it's the college football playoff, whether it's the national championship, whatever it is, that's my goal.
Mendoza has thrown for more than 2,600 yards with just 5 interceptions. He's also rushed for 5 touchdowns. But like the rest of the Hoosiers, he's looking forward to the week off before the regular season finale at Purdue.
I think it's good for a couple, you know, our guys to not only rest physically, but also rest mentally for a couple of days. And then, or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we have practice, go back at attack at it and then get great preparation for Purdue.
That Purdue game will be on Black Friday, November 28th at 7:30 p.m. With a win, the Hoosiers will lock up a spot in the Big Ten championship game and a likely bye in the college football playoffs. Notre Dame continues its own impressive season, ranked number 9 in the nation. They're hosting Syracuse Saturday at 3:30. It's their second-to-last game of the season. They're on the road to face Stanford November 29th with a very late 10:30 start out west. Hopefully, they can climb up a couple more spots nationally before the season ends. The Colts just wrapped up their bye week and still carry one of the NFL's best records at 8-2. They've got a big one this weekend on the road to face the defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs. Kickoff on Sunday is at 1. The Comets are back home. After 5 weeks on the road to start the season in order for ice repairs at the Coliseum to be completed, they'll host Bloomington Friday night with a 7:30 face-off. Playing on the road that long can be tough, but the Comets have been great. They return home in first place in the Central Division with an 8-3-0 record. They have two more games after Bloomington this weekend. They'll host Kalamazoo with a 7:30 face-off on Saturday, followed by Wichita at 5 on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to ignore the Pacers, but I am going to go easy on them because they're really going through it down there. 2-13 on the season, and there's no real turnaround in sight. Hey, at least they beat the Hornets last night. Injuries in the NBA are a brutal thing, and you just hope for the sake of the guys who have to go out there every night that they can, at the very least, stabilize the ship the rest of the way. But not all is lost on the hardwood. Purdue's men's team is number 1 in the nation. They took down number 11 Alabama last week and took care of business against Akron on Sunday. It's still so early in the college basketball season, but in a post-Zach Edey time, you love to see Purdue continue to play so well. I hope they can keep it up. They're taking on Memphis in the Bahamas tonight. That starts at 6. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. Yes, next week is a holiday, but guess what? Sports doesn't take a day off. We'll see you then. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.